Good morning, everybody. This week's Sedra is Parashat Vayeshev. And the Haftorah is another Haftorah from the Trei Asar Nevi'im. We've already had Haftorot. Last week was Ovadia. We studied Ovadia. We've already studied Malachi. We had a Haftorah in Hosea. And now we have a Haftorah in Sefer Amos. He was one of the prophets who spoke to Yisrael, the ten tribes, just as did Hosea. All right, let's begin. And then we'll, of course, attempt to see what is the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah. And I believe that here as well we're going to find all sorts of fascinating, very fascinating relationships. And in a sense, the Haftorah is going to be the a commentary on the Sedra. Ko amar Hashem, so says God, al shlosha pishei Yisrael va'al arba'a lo ashivenu. This, by the way, is the seventh in a series. The prophet Amos has spoken about Damascus, Gaza, Sor, which is Lebanon, Edom, Ammon, Moab. He has spoken about these six nations. And in each one, the refrain is the same. So says God. Al shlosha pishei, for the three crimes. Yes, va'al arba'a lo ashivenu, and for four, or for the fourth, I will not respond, I will not react. What does it mean? What it means is the following. One pshat in the Mefarshim is that, yes, they had committed the three cardinal sins. Idolatry, murder. And for the fourth that comes after that, certainly God is going to respond. It may also mean that God is merciful. First time, second time, third time, He's merciful. But when people are already sinning for the fourth time, enough. And therefore the fourth time, lo ashivenu, I'm not going to respond. So He has spoken first to all of the nations surrounding Israel, what's going to happen to them for that fourth sin, the fourth transgression. And in each case it was what they had done to the Jewish people, and for this they're going to be punished and they're going to be destroyed. Now He talks to Yisrael, to the ten tribes, and He says, Ko amar Hashem, so says God, al shlosha pishei Yisrael, for the three transgressions of Israel, va'al arba'a lo ashivenu, for the fourth, will I not respond and react? What is the fourth? Al michram ba'kesef tzadik, for money they sold the righteous one, the evyon, and the poor one, ba'avur na'alayim, for a pair of shoes. I'll come back to this pasuk, because this of course is one of the main relationships to the Sedra. But I just want you to get the idea, what is the Navi talking about? Ha-shoafim al-afar eretz berojdalim. Ha-shoafim, according to most of them, Farsha means those who trample upon the head of the poor into the dust, that the dust of the earth should cover the poor. Trample them. The derech ha-navim yatu, and the way of the meek, the humble, they turn it away. It means that the meek and the humble cannot travel on the road that everyone else travels. Sort of, you know, an example from real life, the fellow who's okay for you. How do you say that in English again? Passes, yeah. Oh, right. You know, when somebody passes you on the left, like the aggressive means of passing sort of nearly pushes you off the road. The derech hanovim yatu, the humble, the meek. You know, if you want to drive over here, you're going to be meek and humble. You're finished. Derech hanovim, they push the meek and the humble off to the side. The ish va'aviv yelchu el hanara, and a man and his father will go to the nara, to a girl, to commit an adulterous act, according to some of the Mefarshim. Leman chalel et shem kodshi, in order to desecrate my holy name. Val begodim chavulim yatu, they lie down on begodim, garments that are chavulim, garments that have been taken by the court as guarantee for a loan, either by the court or by one who lends money to somebody else, and he takes it as a guarantee for the loan. The halacha says in Torah that you're not permitted to use this for your own purposes. You can only hold on to it, but you can't use it. And what they're doing is they use this in order to lie down and incline Eitzel Kol Mizbeach by every altar. In a sense, the altar over here means let's use really most probably what the Navi would have said if he would have spoken Yiddish. They're fressing, understand? They are near then by the table, and they're eating and they're enjoying life, and on whose garments or blankets are they lying? That which belonged to the poor, who have given it as a guarantee for a loan. V'yayin anushim yishtu, and the wine of those who have been punished. Somebody had to pay a fine, and what do they do with the money of the fine? They buy wine with it and they drink. Beit Eloheim, in the house of their gods. These few psukim are a theme that is repeated a number of times in Sefer Hosea. What I'm going to try to do just for a moment is put it into a more contemporary perspective. What the Navi is really talking about, let's say Amos would be living today. Amos would be living today, and I think what he would be saying over here is, there are 700,000 people in this country that are living below the poverty line. There are 250,000 children in this country who go to sleep hungry. And there is a wealthy ruling class over here that is totally unconcerned. And Amos would stand there in the streets of, well, he wasn't in Yerushalayim, it most probably would be the streets of Shomron, and he would rile against the horrible injustice that's taking place. The wealthy trample underfoot the poor. Nobody cares about the poor. The wealthy are getting wealthier while the poor are getting poorer. So last week, for a day or two after the government report on poverty in the country was issued, so there was talk about poverty, everybody has forgotten about poverty. And the fact is that when the government says that there are 700,000 people who are living below the poverty line, what is the poverty line? The poverty line is 1,800 shekel or less. And this is on the same day that government figures say that a family of four needs over 6,000 shekel. Which means the real truth is that anybody who's making less than 6,000 shekel a month is having extreme, extreme difficulty making it through the month. The truth is half the population of this country is in serious, serious financial trouble. And I don't know, I imagine if I would be Amos, maybe I'm putting words into his mouth, he would rile against the idea of money being spent to build who knows what, and money being given. I mean, I don't want to be political. I'm above politics. Money that immediately has to be given to the Palestinian Authority, because if not, the poverty of Gaza is going to destroy the peace process. And half of this country is living in poverty. More than that, in amongst the countries of the world, the greatest distance between the upper class and the lower class, country number one that has the greatest disparity is the United States. The second is Israel. Germany, Japan, France, England, the par, the difference between the gap. Malka, do you see what's happened over here after all these years? If Malka is giving me English words, that means I did a good job teaching her. And that I've become an Israeli. Malka? Oh, give Maldik. Very good, very good. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is awesome in this country. This is what Hosea is talking about. When Hosea talks about michram bakesef tzadik, for money, they sell the righteous and the good. In other words, the concerns of the righteous and the good are not their concern. The poor are simply for a pair of shoes, for a nothing. They will simply reject and not listen to the cry of the poor. Hashow of him, those who trample upon the head of the poverty stricken, and the dust covers them. This is what the Navi is talking about. He's talking about the difference between the strong and the weak. He's talking about the exploitation of the weak by the strong, the lack of concern. The Navi doesn't have to be talking about absolutely cruel, insensitive evil. Though, of course, what the Navi is saying is the insensitivity of government or the ruling class to the cry of the poor, in a sense, Shavat aniyim, the cry of the poor, mi yishma. Who's going to hear the cry of the poor? It means there's an awesome responsibility on people who are in power to make certain that there is an effort that is made in order to raise the level of the entire people. If a member of Knesset last week, most probably who never quoted a pasuk in his life, had the extreme chutzpah to quote in Knesset to the opposition who are attacking the government for the rising number of poor in this country. No, there's a pasuk in Torah, lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz. There will never be an end to poor mikerev haaretz. I don't understand. That means, of course, so there's nothing you can do. Wait a minute. That most probably means inside of Israel proper, but in Gaza we have to make sure that there will be no poor. All right. Okay, that's enough of that. But more. The Medrash says, and let's say the following. If we are to look at one of the themes of this Sedra, the theme of this Sedra is the way in which the strong exploit the poor or the weak. Unfortunately, it begins with the brothers of Yosef who sell their brother into slavery. And the whole idea of slavery really comes to the fore in this Sedra. According to the Pasuk, and Mefarshim say it, Yosef was sold a number of times. He wasn't sold only once. He was sold a number of times. First the brothers take him and say, L'chuvinim kerenu l'yishmaelim, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. And we should not be the ones who will... cause him any harm. And then it says, Vayavru anoshim midyanim socharim, men who were Midianites who were socharim went by, and they brought Yosef out of the bar. They sold him to the Yishmaelim for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought him to Mitzrayim. According to the Mefarshim, he was sold a number of times to Yishmaelim, from Yishmaelim to Midyanim, Midyanim to Yishmaelim, Yishmaelim to Mitzrayim. What we're talking about is the exploitation of the weak. And then when we come to Mitzrayim, is he not exploited? And what is it? The wife of Potiphar thinks that she can do anything she wants with her little slave boy. He's thrown into prison. The cry of the weak, the cry of the exploited, is what rises out of this Sedra. But let's go one step further. On that first pasuk, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Shlosho Pishe Yisrael, Va'al Arbo'o Lo Ashivenu, Al Michram Ba'Kesef Tzadik, Ve'Evyon Ba'Avur Na'alayim. Here we have the Medrash. the Medrash says the following. The Medrash says, Al Mikram Bakesef Tzadik. Who sold Tzadik, a Tzadik for money? The brothers sold Yosef. This Pasuk, Al Mikram Bakesef Tzadik. They sold the Tzadik for money. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The Evyon, and the poor one, Ba'avur Nalayim, for a pair of shoes. The Medrash says they got 20 pieces of silver. And the 20 pieces of silver were divided, 2 pieces of silver to each one of the brothers. And that was enough money to buy a pair of shoes. Pair of shoes. We'll read the Medrash in a moment. I want you to hear, I don't know, it's probably sometime Yom Kippur in the afternoon, then when we're Oiz Gemuchet, the end of the Avoda of Musaf on Yom Kippur is the famous story of the Asora Harugei Malchus, the 10 martyrs. And it says, Eile Ezkara, I'm reading from the Musaf of Yom Kippur, Eile Ezkara, these I will remember. The Nafshe Olai Eshbechon, my heart, my soul pours out. Asora Harugei Malchut, the ten martyrs. And what happens is the following. It says about the Roman general, as he goes through Torah, he's reading Torah, and says he's also going to find a pasuk. Not lo yerdal evyon mikerev haaretz. He's also going to find a pasuk, and it says upasach b'veila hamishpatim. He begins with parshas mishpatim, v'choshav mizimos, and he's thinking all sorts of ways in which to plot against the Jewish people. V'gonev ish u'mecharo v'nimtza b'yado mot yumat. It says in mishpatim, the one who's going to kidnap a man and sell him, the punishment is death. Govalev b'liyal oved elilim, the heart of this idolater was raised. V'tziva l'malot plotero na'olim, and he commanded that they should fill his throne room, his palace, with shoes. Fill it with shoes. V'korol asoro chachamim gedolim, he called 10 great wise men. Mevinei dat, those who understand Dinei Torah, and he asks them, what's the halacha about gonev ishu mechoro? What's the halacha if you steal from some, you kidnap a person and sell him? And they said, umeit haganov ahu, he shall die. Says the Roman general, ayei avotechem asher achihem mechoruhu, where are your fathers who sold their brother? La'orchat Yishma'elim secharuhu, to a caravan of Yishma'elim they sold him. Uba'adna alayim natanuhu, they gave him away for a pair of shoes. On what basis is this written in the Marzer? It's on the basis of this pasuk. Al mikram ba'kesef tzadik, they sold a tzadik. The tzadik is the righteous one. And by the way, it is from here that we learn that Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. Al mikram ba'kesef tzadik, they sold the tzadik, they gave him away. They gave him away for money, for Evyon, and the poor one, ba'avur na'alayim, for a pair of shoes. Just a few medrashim, so that we begin to get the idea. First of all, the medrash says, Ish tzadik. Why is he called tzadik? Very fascinating. Why is he called tzadik? I would imagine most people would think that he is called tzadik because of the event in this week's seder. That what? Right, that he was able to withstand the seduction of the seductive approaches of Eshet Potiphar. It took tremendous strength. That's not what the Medrash says. Medrash says Ish tzadik. He was a righteous man. Al shezon briyotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he fed, that's right, in Mitzrayim, he fed God's creatures. Nikra tzadik, that's why he's called a tzadik. Who else in Sefer Bereshit is called a tzadik? Noach. Noach is called a tzadik. Shnei b'nei Adam, the Medrash says, two people are called tzadikim, al shezonu et habriyot, because they provided for mankind. They fed mankind. Noach is the one who rebuilt a whole world. Noach and Yosef. Noach and Yosef are the two. Shekach k'tivbo. This is what it says about Yosef. About Noach, it says he was ish tzadik. That says so in Torah. Oh, but what about Yosef?
al michram b'kesef tzadik. They sold for kesef. They sold the tzadik. Uktivbo, and it says about Yosef, Vayichalke Yosef. Yosef is the one who sustained all of the people. The Medrash, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says, Ma osa Ruvain, who wasn't there that day when Yosef was sold? Binyamin certainly wasn't there, he was at home. But even Ruvain, who had been with his brothers, is the one who was away. He was the one, Ruvain was the one who said, let's put him in the pit. And not to kill him. It says, Ma osa Ruvain, what did Ruvain do? Holach v'yashav lo be'echot min ha'horeb. He went and he sat down upon one of the mountains, and his intent was leireid balaila, to go down that night and take Yosef out of the pit. Ulahalot at Yosef min abor, to take Yosef out of the pit. The tisha echov, his nine brothers, hayu yoshvim v'ochlim, they were sitting and eating b'makom acher, someplace else. Belev echadu be'etza achad, one heart, one counsel. V'avru aleim yishmaelim, the yishmaelim passed, and they said lechuvinim kerenu, let us go and sell him by yishmaelim. And they took him to the very end of the desert. Ve'en Yaakov aviv shamea et shamaot. Yaakov no longer hears from Yosef. And they sold him to the Yishmaelim, the Medrash says, for 20 pieces of silver. V'chol echad v'echad notel shnei ksafim liknot min alin l'ragleim. And each one took two kesef, two pieces of silver, in order to buy a pair of shoes for his free feet. Shenema, as it says, al michron ba'kesef tzadik ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim. I believe the next pasuk is really the elaboration. What's the significance or the symbolism of shoes? Because the next pasuk says, "Hashoafim, those who trample upon the head of the poor." In a sense, they're buying a pair of shoes in order to trample and exploit the weak. Another medrash Tanchuma says, "Vayim kiroso besim kesef." They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The Medrash says that now they didn't sell Yosef cheaply for 20 pieces of silver alone. 20 pieces of silver is what each one got. The sum total, therefore, was 10 times. 10 times. 20 is 200. V'hu ola b'gematria. The gematria of matayim is na'alayim, shoes. Zeu shamar akosiv. That's why I didn't figure out the math, but you know, I'm not too good at arithmetic, but you can figure that out yourselves. Zeu shamar akosiv. That's what the pasuk says. Al michram b'kesef tzadik ve'evyon b'avur na'alayim. They sold the tzadik, the righteous one, for silver. Ve'evyon b'avur na'alayim. I might as well finish the medrash. The medrash says, but wait a minute, there were only nine there. There weren't ten. So how do you divide it? How do you divide it by ten? The kasha, ki heim lo hayu el tisha, there were only nine, ki ruvein lo hayasham. V'yeshloma, this is the Medrash Tanchuma, ki heim lakhu chelek ruvein, they took ruvein's portion as well. U'kishabola halotom in habor, when they came to take him out of the pit, sipru lo hamachira, they told ruvein the story of the sale. V'nosnu lo chelkom in hakesef, and they gave him his two pieces of silver. I imagine they give him his two pieces of silver in order to make him an accomplice, as well. All right. But let's not forget for a moment what the real meaning of the pasuk is. Al michram b'kesef tzadik means not only the righteous, but a person who before a court of law should be found innocent. And they sell people away for money. What does it mean they sell people away for money? We're not talking about a system necessarily where you just bought off judges. But what it means is there are all sorts of subtle ways of bending the scales of justice. It may very well be by creating a certain atmosphere. Judges act within a certain environment. I don't know, I imagine that something that a bagatz, a Supreme Court would say here today, they may not have said it 20 years from now. In 20 years from now, they may be saying things that are different than today. We who come from America, the Supreme Court was for slavery, was against slavery, was for the death penalty, was against the death penalty. A system of justice works within an environment by creating a negative environment. You are creating that which is going to cause a miscarriage of justice. So I have to tell you that Na'alayim It doesn't mean shoes, according to all of the Mefarshim, Targum Yonatan, and others say, Na'alayim comes from the word no'el, to close or lock up. If the poor are locked into a system from which there is no way out, there is no hope for them, they are locked in. Rashi says that the judges would in some way make certain that the poor would have to sell their land. In other words, if a judge had a piece of land next door to the poor and he wants the rest of the land, they would find ways to lock him out of his land or surround him with other land and lock him in or lock him out. We're talking about miscarriage of justice. And the miscarriage of justice can be a very, very subtle kind. Wasn't there a miscarriage of justice in the sale of Yosef? The Mefarshim all say that the brothers held that Yosef is a subversive element who's creating discord and disharmony in the family. We're not talking about people who simply decided to take their brother and just sell him off. Obviously, they had all sorts of ideas here. They had convinced themselves that this is best for the family. Yosef, to quote an ugly statement that was made yesterday, Yosef is a coats. He's a thorn in the family. Remove him. It's not him. That was Perez, you understand. That was the very end of all secular Zionism. To say about a Yishuv Yehudi, a place where Jews are living, that it's a coats, it's a thorn that has to be removed. Unheard of in the history of Klal Yisrael. That's what we're zeichet to. The brothers, I don't know whether I should say Lahavdil, not say Lahavdil. The brothers, in a sense, see him as being a harmful element who has to be removed. But we have to understand that the brothers are tzaddikim gedolim, but they made a mistake. A tzaddik can also make a mistake. Which means, therefore, I believe that so far we've talked about two relationships between the Sedra and the Haftorah. One is the fact that in the Sedra and in the Haftorah we're talking about the exploitation of the weak. We're talking about the strong who do with the weak as they see fit. It's probably the first Sedra in Torah where we see it so blatantly. It's the brothers, the Yishmaelim, the Midyanim, Mitzrayim, Potiphar, Eshet Potiphar. We're talking about a person who's being ground underfoot, step after step. Literally, he's being trampled upon. And that's of course what the Navi, he's talking. And this appears later on in Hosea as well. He is talking to a people where there is indeed great gap between the rich ruling class and the poor. Later on, he refers to them as Parot HaBashan, the Parot HaBashan, the cows of the Bashan. In Yiddish, it always comes out much better. The Pashin Zechalain. Pashin Zech. How do I say that? Take care of themselves, who are concerned. Zichalein Pashin, they take care of their own needs, they graze and they pasture, while others are suffering. And the Navi later on is going to describe how they're lying out on their couches and est, just similar to what we've had here. But that's not the whole story of the Haftorah. I want to take you on a further journey through the Haftorah, at which point we're going to come to what is, I believe, the real profound relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah. As I have usually demonstrated since the beginning of the year, it doesn't begin and end with the fact that in the first pasuk of the Haftorah we have the description of the sale of Yosef, Mechirat Yosef, al Michram da Kesef, Tzadik, va Evyon Tavun Alayim. That's only the beginning. That I would consider the superficial relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah. The real one is going to come. Let's go further in the Haftorah. Pasuk 9, V'anochi, God says to the people of Israel, V'anochi, Hishmaditi etu amodi mipneim,
I destroyed the Amori before them. The Amori were the ones who lived in Eretz Canaan. I destroyed the Amori. That is height. He is as tall as the cedars. Vechoson hu ka alonim, and he's strong. He's mighty like the alon. What tree is the alon? The oak? The oak. Va'ashmid piryom imal, and I destroyed his fruit from above, v'sharashav mitachat, and his roots from beneath. The Amori were the ones who lived in Eretz Israel. The Navi is going to say, as we've seen in a number of the other Haftarot, he's going to remind them of Jewish history. He's going to remind them of all that God did for them. I destroyed the Amori before them. V'anochi ha'leiti etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, I took you up out of the land of Egypt. V'olech etchem b'midbar b'im shana, we've heard this a number of times. And I took you through the midbar for 40 years. L'reshet et Eretz Amori, to inherit the land of the Amori. V'okim ibneichem l'neviim, and I made from your sons, I made prophets, m'bachudeichem, and from your young ones, I made nezidim. Nezidim over here means tzadikim and shoftim, good people. Ha'af ein zot b'nei Yisrael nu'um Hashem. God says, isn't that so? Don't you know all that I did for you? And what has been your response? Batashkuat ha'nazidim yoyin. The nazir is the one who's not permitted to drink wine. And you've gone ahead and you've given wine to the nazir. Val ha'neviim tzivitim leimor. And to the prophets you've commanded, lo tinavu, do not say prophecy. By the way, here there is a little bit of a relationship, or more than a little bit of a relationship, with the Sedra. The dreams of Yosef at the beginning of the Sedra are dreams that have in them prophecy. The brothers want to silence him. They don't want to hear the prophecy of Yosef. What does the Pasuk say? What does the Pasuk say about Yaakov? V'aviv shamaret hadavar, his father waited. He knew that there is truth to what Yosef is saying, but shashtil, now is not the time at which to say it. Says God, the punishment that I will bring upon you is hinei anochi me'ik taichtechem, I am going to press you down, kasher to'ik ha'agala ha'maleyala amir, like a wagon presses down on the earth, a wagon that is full of grain. And what's going to happen? Watch the. It's the description for Avad Manos Mikol, the Chazak Lo Yamitz Kocho, the Gibor Lo Yamalek Nafsho. The one who is light footed will lose the ability to flee. It's the yearly cold or the semi annual cold. They tell me half of Yerushalayim has it. It's a holy cold. If I need it, yeah. He describes in this pasuk three people who by right should be victorious, should be able to save themselves or save others. And it's not going to work. Kol, the light-footed one, is going to lose the ability to flee. The Chazak, the strong one, lo ya'ameitz kocho, his strength will not stand him in good stead. The Gibor, lo ya'maleit nafsho, the mighty one, is not going to flee. The Tofes hakeshet, the one who holds the bow. In this passage, we're going to have three men of war. Tofes hakeshet, the one who holds the bow. Lo Yamod is not going to be able to stand. He's going to flee from his position. Instead, he's going to retreat or withdraw from his position. Vekal Baraglov, and the one who's light-footed, Lo Yamalet, is not going to get away. Verochev Hasus, the one who's riding on a horse, Lo Yamalet Nafsho, is not going to save his soul. Va'amitzli Bo Bagiborim, and the mighty one, the one whose heart is mighty amongst the strong, Arom Yanus Bayom Ahu, naked he is going to run on that day, Nu'um Hashem, says God. There are seven different kinds of people who have been listed here. The seven people who are listed here are people who within the nature of things, should be strong, mighty, victorious, successful,
and if need be are able to flee, escape, get away, and nothing is going to help. The light-footed, the mighty, the strong, the one with the bow, the one who's standing in the position of strength, it's not going to help. We're going to get back to all of this. This is going to be very, very important in our understanding of the Sedra. Shimu ata davar hazeh asher diber Hashem aleichem b'nei Yisrael. Listen to this that God has spoken about you, children of Israel. Al kol hamishpacha, this is what God says. Al kol hamishpacha, this entire family, asher he'eliti me'eretz Mitzchayim le'mo, the family that I brought out of Egypt, so saying. Rak etchem yadati, only you I knew. Mikol mishpachot ha'adamah, from all of the families upon the face of this earth, you have been here long enough to know how to translate rak etchem yadati. Right, yadati is love. We had it in a few other haftarot. Rak, only you did I love from amongst all of the families on the face of this earth. Al kein, therefore, because I love you, efkod aleichem et kol avonoteichem, I'm going to remember all of your sins. I'm going to punish you for your sins. In a sense, what's being described over here is the very special relationship between God and the Jewish people. It's because I love you that I admonish you. If I wouldn't love you, I wouldn't care about what you're doing. And here, these psukim are beautiful just because they're beautiful, but they're even going to be more beautiful in terms of how they are going to explain to us not only this Sedra, we are going to understand three parashiyot in Torah. We're going to understand Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash. And here we're going to have a classic example of the Haftorah being the commentary on the Sedra. Hayel Hushnayim Yachtav, do you think two people will walk together, Bilti Imno Odu, unless they had made up to meet? Hayishag Aryeh Bayar, does the lion of the forest roar, v'teref einlo, and he has no prey? When does the lion roar? He roars when he has prey. Ayitein kfir kolo mima onoto, will the young lion give out his voice from his lair, bilti imlachad, if he has not captured something? There's the cry, the roar of strength. Hatipol tzipor al pach aretz umokesh einla, will a bird fall upon the earth if it hasn't been caught in a trap? The bird has been caught in the trap, and that's why it falls. Hayale pach min ha'adama, the pach is the trap. Will the trap go up out of the earth? V'lachod lo yiltod, if it hasn't caught something. The trap lies on the ground. When something is caught in it, it rises. Im yitoka shofar ba'ir, will a shofar be blown in a city? V'am lo yecharodu, and the people will not tremble. Im tiyeh ra'a ba'ir, just as all of these are true. Im tiyeh ra'a ba'ir, if evil is going to befall a city, v'ashem lo asad, God didn't do it. There is no such thing as coincidence. Things don't just happen b'mikre. They don't just happen. They are part of a plan. There is intent. There is meaning to events. In tiyeh ra'a ba'ir, if something's going to happen in an evil in a city and God didn't do it, ki lo yaseh Hashem Elokim davar, there is nothing that God will do, ki im gilos sodo el avodav anaviyim, without revealing his secret to his prophets. Without revealing the secret to his prophets. All right. Is that the... one more pasuk. Aryeh Sha'ag, the lion has roared, Milo Yirah, who will not be frightened? Hashem Elokim Diber, God has spoken, Milo Yinaveh, who will not say prophecy? In a sense, over here it seems that the prophet is compelled to say his prophecy. In a sense, it means Yosef, therefore, is the one who is compelled to tell them his dreams. He's not only compelled to do that, at the end of the Sedra, he is compelled to tell the butler and the baker precisely what's going to happen to them. All right. Now I believe we have to really begin to talk about the Sedra. There is something fascinating and unique about this Sedra and the Sedras that are to follow. In all of these Sedras, there are going to be two levels upon which we will understand every pasuk. Every event that happens has to be understood in two different ways. As you go through the Sedras, it seems men plan, men act. Men are doing all sorts of things. They're doing them because of their own interests, their own motivations. But when one takes a look beneath the surface, what's really unfolding before our very eyes is God's divine plan. God has a plan. The plan that he already discussed with Avraham Avinu at the Brit Bein HaBetarim is that the Jewish people are going to have to go down to Egypt and be enslaved in Egypt. The time has come, and therefore God now has to begin that process. So while men are acting, the one who's really orchestrating everything is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Men will be punished for what he does only because he does it as a result of his own free will. But there's a divine plan. And the divine plan is going to be carried out. Nothing is ever going to frustrate God's divine plan. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stand in the way. There is one story in these three Sedras that is the key to unlock all of the Sedras and everything that's going on in these Parshiot. And that story is at the beginning of Vayeshev. Yosef has told his dreams to his father. The brothers hate him. The brothers are jealous of him. And then, let's begin at Sheni. chapter 37, Pasuk 12. Vayelchu echov lirot etzon avim b'shchem. The brothers went to take care of to graze the sheep of their father in Shechem. Vayomi Yisrael Yosef. Yisrael said to his son Yosef, Halo achecho roim b'shchem. Behold, your brothers are grazing in Shechem. Lecho go v'eshlochacho aleim. I'm going to send you to them. Vayomi lo. Yosef's response is, Hineni, here I am, I'm ready to go. It's not a terribly pleasant journey for him to undertake. He knows that the relationship between himself and his brothers is a very poor one. Vayomalo Yaakov says to him, Lech no rei et shlom achecho et shlom atzon, go see how your brothers are doing, and the sheep, vashiveni dava, and bring me back word. Vayishlochehu mei emek Chevron, vayavo Shechema, he sent him from the valley of Chevron, and he came to Shechem. Already there is an indication that something very, very unusual is taking place over here. And Rashi is, of course, the one that points it out to us. Rashi says, V'halo Chevron Pahar. Chevron is on a mountain. What do you mean he sends him from the valley of Chevron? Everybody knows that Chevron is on a mountain. And Rashi even, if you don't know it, because you've never been there, Rashi brings a pasuk. By the Meraglim it says, Vayalu Banegev, they went up the Negev, Vayavo at Chevron, and he came to Chevron. So what does it mean that he sent him from the valley of Chevron? Says Rashi, Elome Eitzo Amuka Shel Oto Tzadik HaKavur B'Chevron. The deep, deep counsel, the idea, the plan that was imparted to the one who's buried in Chevron. Lekayim Mashenem Al Avram Avinu, in order to fulfill that which was said to Avram, that your children are going to be strangers in a land that does not belong to them. It means what's really happening is Yaakov thinks that he is sending Yosef to find out how his brothers are doing. But what he doesn't realize is that he is acting out God's plan. Maybe Mensch tut was Gott tracht. I just made it up. I think this will have to go down in history. This is a takeoff. Sure, we get it. I may not have gotten it. It may be on the leader. As we were saying, the great word, what did I say? Mensch tut? Was Gott trach. Mensch tut? No, I know what you're saying, Mark. I know. Mensch tracht and Gott lacht. I'm not so sure. The truth is, I'm not so sure was er lacht as I feel.
No,
there are a lot of things that I'm not so sure was er lacht. But over here, man is doing what God is thinking. That means here is one of the first examples where man is acting, and he thinks he's acting independently, but he is really the instrument in the hand of God. Now the next pasuk, Vayimtza Eish, a man found him, v'hinei to'e basadeh, and behold, he's wandering, he's lost in the field. Yosef has come to Shechem, and a man finds him, Vayisholehu ha'ish le'mor, and the man asked him, not to vakesh, what are you looking for? Vayomer, he said, et achayo nochi mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. Hagidon oli, please tell me, eifo heim ro'im, where are they grazing? Vayomer ha'ish, and the man said, nosu mizeh, they've journeyed from here. Ki shomati omrim, because I heard them saying, ne'elcha dotana, they said, let's go to Dotan. Vayelech Yosef acharachav, Yosef followed, went after his brothers, and he found them, vayimtzayim b'dotan, and he found them in Dotan. A very difficult few psukim to understand. We're talking about God's divine Torah. Is this so terribly important? And what happens if Avraham Avinu is on the way to the Akedah, and he's not certain how to get to Har HaMoriah, so he stops at and he asks somebody, how do you get there? Okay, the man tells him how to get. I mean, this is of such great significance, and this is such importance that it would have to be recorded in Torah. All right, so he got lost. He didn't know where his brothers are. He stepped in. He found somebody and he said, "Did you hear where my brothers are?" And he says, I mean, "What makes this Torah? What's so terribly significant about this? Why does the Torah have to tell us the whole story?" The truth is, when you take a deeper look at the story, so first of all, it's a little upside down. The story. The story should first have said that Yosef is lost in the field, and he stops a man, he finds a man, and he asks him, how do I get to my brothers? But that's not how the story begins. The story begins that the man found Yosef. Was the man looking for Yosef? What do you mean? Is the man looking for Yosef? No. Yosef is looking for his brothers. Okay, you can't find your brothers. You're looking around Shechem. They're not there. So he asks directions. The whole story starts in such a strange way. So I'm asking, first of all, the whole story is unnecessary. I mean, does the Torah have to tell me that morning before Yosef left Hebron, he had breakfast? Maybe we should even be told what he had for breakfast. Should we be told that it rained that day, or that it was it was clear, it was Mu'unam Chelkit? Who needs the whole story? And then I say the whole story is written in such a strange way. And maybe what's most unusual about this story is it's taking place in Eretz Yisrael, and the man gives him correct directions. He said, Yasha, Yasha, and there you will find them. And you know what? Yosef goes, Yasha, Yasha, and he finds them. There is a great Ramban. The great Ramban, together with the Haftorah, are the key to unlock everything that's happening in these parshiot. The Ramban says, V'yarech ha-katuv bazeh, the Pasuk talks about this at length and tells us the whole story about that he's lost and a man finds him and gives him instructions, lahudienu, to tell us. And these are the five great words that explain everything. Ki ha-gezeira emet v'ha-charitzut sheker. Ki ha-gezeira emet, God's divine decree is truth. V'ha-charitzut, and all of man's attempts are sheker, a falsehood. There is absolutely nothing that will ever be able to frustrate God's divine plan. Man can plan, think, do, act, and nothing is going to stand in the way of God's plan. Do you know what's happening out here in the field in Shechem? What's happening in the field in Shechem is, the pasuk before tells us, that Yaakov is sending him from the valley of Hebron. What's the valley of Hebron? Rashi explained. The deep counsel, God's plan. God's plan is that Klal Yisrael should end up in Mitzrayim, and how is it going to happen? By virtue of the fact that Yosef is going to be sold by his brothers to Mitzrayim. Can you imagine? The whole plan, the Tahalich, I'm afraid, the Tahalich falls apart at the very beginning. The process falls apart at the beginning. The whole process is supposed to happen in a way that Yosef meets up with his brothers and his brothers are going to sell him, but Yosef can't find the brothers. Can you imagine? There, the Rabbeinu Shalom has laid out God's best laid plans in heaven. Yosef is going to go meet his brothers, and his brothers are going to sell him to Egypt. He's going to become the great leader of Egypt. At a time of famine, his entire family is going to come down there. This is all part of the divine plan, and the divine plan is falling apart right at the very beginning. Yosef comes to Shechem and he can't find his brothers. Most probably the Malachim in heaven are standing there, and because they understand that this is not only the beginning of Jews going down to Egypt, this is the beginning of Jewish history. This is the beginning of a process that's going to lead to Sinai, and from Sinai to Eretz Israel. And all of a sudden, do you know what happens to the whole process? It falls apart in a field outside of Shechem. Yosef can't find his brothers. Do you know what Yosef most probably is thinking at this point? I've looked, and I've looked, and I can't find them. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to go back home. Especially since he's not terribly interested in meeting his brothers, because he knows that his brothers don't love him. That means the whole divine plan is now in the process of collapsing. It's crumbling. It's falling apart. But of course it doesn't fall apart. You know why? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom is able to improvise. The Rebbeinu Shalom is able to, pull a shtickle, a rabbit, or a man out of the hat. The mysterious man. That's why Rashi says that the man is an angel. The Ramban says he doesn't really have to mean an angel. He's God's messenger. God makes sure that that man is going to be there in order that there should be a mid-course correction. Yosef. No, this is a... I'll take the water. All right, I'll just stop. Go ahead. Not bad. Malka, the two of you just now said the pasuk that is really that which sums up all of these three parshiot, the Ramban, and the whole message of the Haftarah. Rabot machshavot belev ish v'atzat Hashem hi takom. Man has all sorts of plans in mind, but the end is that God's counsel ultimately is going to emerge successful. And here, the story that we're being told is, it seems that God's plan has gone completely awry. Yosef is never going to meet his brothers because he can't find them, says the Ramban. The whole story here is told in order that we should become aware of a truth throughout all of history. And it certainly is the message of these sedras that HaGzeira Emet, God's divine decree, is truth, VaCharitzut Sheker, and all of the efforts of man are falsehood. Since the Rebbeinu Shalom has promised throughout Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim that all of Eretz Yisrael is ours and will be ours, there is absolutely no doubt on Imamin Bemuna Shlema that every piece of earth will be ours. I have no doubt about it. Man is trying to frustrate God's plan. Maybe man can succeed for a limited period of time, but no more than that. Hagzeira emet v'hacharitzut sheker. And the Ramban says, ki zimein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God brought here mored derech shalom idato lahavi o biadam. God brings a guide for Yosef here, shalom idato, the guide himself doesn't know that he's part of the plan. The man who's in the field, and the man most probably even wonders to himself, why did he walk over to Yosef? Who should have initiated the conversation over here? The one who needs directions. Yosef should have asked for directions. This man doesn't even understand. You know, out in the field, he walks over, he sees somebody who's lost, and he walks over and he says, well, what are you looking for? And fascinating. Isn't it interesting? He happened to be in Shechem, and he heard the brothers say they're going to Dothan. What a coincidence! This same man who heard that they're going to Dothan. How does he know that it's the brothers? It just aren't all of the coincidence. It's so coincidentally. He happens to be in town, and he happens to hear these people saying they're going to Dothan. And then he happens to meet a person who's lost in the field. They must probably are schmoozing in the field over there. And this man must say to Yosef, isn't that interesting? The tall one. I saw 10 brothers. 10 fellas looked like brothers. Paul's, yeah, those are my brothers. Really? I heard them say they're going. What a coincidence. Says the Ramban, the whole story here is written to tell us there's no such thing as a coincidence. This is the Rabbeinu Shalom's plan. And the Rabbeinu Shalom's plan is not going to be frustrated. Nobody is going to stand in the way. Do you think that two people get together and are traveling together and they haven't made up to travel together? Do you think it's possible for a lion to roar and it doesn't have prey? They're just as all of these events in life, clearly there is a cause to the effect, and the effect is the result of a cause. The events in the Sedra here are all the results of the first cause, the prime mover, the Rabbeinu Shleilam, who's the architect of the world. And even if it seems at one moment in history as though God's divine plan is falling apart, don't worry, there'll be a man. There'll be a man there. A man there who here, everything is going in the wrong direction. A mid-course correction is necessary. And the man is there to do it, and he gives him instructions. And you can imagine already, in heaven, all of the malachim who had been so nervous as though God's plan is going to be frustrated. That's right, they applaud. They sit back. Okay, Yosef is on the way to his brothers. The plan has begun. Jewish history is on the march. It will be painful. And there are people who are going to pay for the painful parts of it. But that's the beginning of the story. And the Ramban says, V'lazenit kavnu rabotenu, this is exactly what our rabbis meant when they said that here was an angel. Doesn't necessarily have to mean, you know, an angel with wings who's in disguise right now. The messenger of God. The messenger of God. Ki ha'ishim ha'ele, these people who are acting here, they are malachim, they are messengers. Shelo al chinam hoyokol ha'sipur hazeh, it's not for naught that this whole story of the mysterious man is brought in the parasha. El lahodi'enu, to let us know, ki, and he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, atzat Hashem, hi takum, God's counsel is going to be fulfilled. Is this the only place in the Sedra where this happens? No, it's not the only place in the Sedra. There are many places in the Sedra. Let's say the whole story is summed up in two psukim. The pasuk that just read a few moments ago, Vayishlachehu, Yaakov sent him, Me'emek Chevron, from the valley of Chevron. Three parashiyot later, when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, so he says, Lo atem shalachtem oti hena, you're not the ones who sent me here. Ki ha Elokim, God is the one who sent me here. Here, as we read the parasha, it seems that Yaakov sent him on his mission. No! It's not Yaakov who sends him on his mission. It's God. There's God's divine plan, and men are acting out that plan. There are a number of somebody. If you go through the Sedra and the Rashi, you're going to see so many fascinating coincidences. It says that the Yishma'elim came by a shayara, a orchat Yishma'elim, a caravan of Yishma'elim come through. And what's fascinating here, here's another thing. Like it seems like it's not important. It's not important. But the Torah tells it to us. If the Torah tells us something that seems unimportant, there has to be significance. It says a caravan of Yishma'elim are coming from Gilad, and we have to know precisely what their camels are carrying. Ugmaleihem nosim nechot utzavi volot. Holchim lahorid Mitzrayim. They're on their way down to Egypt. You know what they're carrying? All sorts of spices. Let me ask you. If the aleph of the word nechot will be missing in the Sefer Torah is going to be puzzled, right? Nechot means a spice, no. And what happens if I wouldn't know that they were carrying spices altogether? Vusvolt megefeld, what would I be missing? Who needs to know? I mean, we have to know precisely what they're carrying. Says Rashi, Lama pirseim hakatuv, why did the Pasuk tell us et masa'am, what they are carrying? Lahudia matan schorom shel tzadikim, to tell you the reward of tzadikim, shein darkon shel aravim laseit eloneft viitron shereichon ra. This is not a racist Rashi. Rashi says Arabs usually carry, what they carry is oils that give off a noisome odor, not a good odor. V'lazen izdamnu bashamayim. Over here, in heaven, heaven made certain that this caravan is going to be carrying spices. Shelo yuzak mireach ra, that he shouldn't be hurt by the bad smell. So what does that mean? These Yishma'elim are for the first time in their lives carrying a different kind of cargo, and they think most probably that it's there. They made the decision. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that they found out that the price of nechot sarivolot has jumped on the stock market in Mitzrayim. So, and they just happened to meet up with people who are carrying, Marco Polo carrying it from the Far East. And all these coincidences. So they decide this time they're going to carry nechot sarivolot. No. The Rebbeinu Shalom, not only does the Rebbeinu Shalom make sure that there's a man in the field to send Yosef in the right direction, he's already worried, it may have been a few days or weeks earlier, he already made certain that a caravan leaves with spices, and these Yishma'elim are going to change the kind of cargo that they normally carry in order that the tzaddik should not suffer. The whole story of Yehuda v'Tamar. Gemara says, Lo Hoya Yehuda. Yehuda was not Roy Lo Oto Maisa. This was not something natural or normal for Yehuda to do. Yehuda is a righteous man. He is the one. So what happens? His eldest son marries a woman by the name of Tamar. He dies, then the next brother marries her and dies. And then he's out on the highway someplace, and he meets a zona. This is Yehuda going to a zona. What are you talking about? This is Hakol Min Hashamayim, as the Gemara says, when he says when he wants to put her to death, and she says, to whom am I pregnant? I am pregnant from the one to whom this signet ring and the staff belongs. So he says, Tzodko, she is right. Me many, it is from me. Chazal say it was a voice coming out from heaven saying, me many, all of this comes from me. I'm the one that wanted that you should go on the road. I wanted you to meet Tamar. I wanted that who's born as a result of the union between Yehuda and Tamar? Peretz and Zarah. But what does that mean? To take it further, David HaMelech, Mashiach is born there. Me many, Yotzu, Chazal say me many, from me, Yotzu, Divrei Kivushim, this seed has come from me. Yehuda thinks he's acting. We think that Yehuda and Tamar are the players over here. But that's only superficially. The one who's really acting is the Rebbeinu Shlomo. I mean, there's a great deal of talk. Why did he want it this way? So the Gemara says, the reason why God wanted that David and Mashiach should be born in a We could say, of course, not a nice way like this, because ein odom mitmane al atzibur, a person cannot be appointed over klal yisrael ela in kein kupo shel shrotzim toli me'achorav. The only person who can be a leader over Jewish people is a person who has a whole bunch of shrotzim, ugly, creepy critters behind him, meaning that he has all sorts of skeletons in the closet, so that one never, no leader of Israel ever has the right to act with contempt, with arrogance, or conceit, or pride against the people. Because there's always the moment when somebody is going to say, Habibi, you know, you got yourself a few skeletons over there in the closet. What about, you think it's just coincidence that the baker and the butler are removed by Paro? The baker and the butler are removed. I mean, they're removed, and Yosef happens to be in the same prison, and Yosef is in charge of them. And isn't it fascinating? They both dreamed dreams on the same night. They both dreamed dreams on the same night. What do Chazal say? Vayiktsof Paro. Paro became angry with his two servants, the baker and the butler. Says the Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Hiktsif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avodav. Paro got angry. God made a master angry against his slaves. Lasot Ritzon Yosef HaTzadik, to do the will of Yosef the Tzadik. They are there. It's all part of a divine plan. We have to get Yosef out of prison. We have to get Yosef out of prison at some point, and therefore he's going to have to. We're going to have people there who are going to, at some moment in time, remind Paro that there is a Yosef there. Everything is part of a divine plan. Everybody in the Sedra is acting, and they all think that they are acting on their own initiative. And the truth is, there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the whole story of the parsha of the man who finds Yosef. And one other thing, I just want to read what one of the great Mefarshim, the Rabbeinu Yonah, says the following. In the Haftorah, we have the light-footed who don't flee, the mighty ones who fall, the one with the bow and arrow who's not able to wage war. Seven different kinds of people are mentioned. People who, in the nature of things, should clearly succeed. The light-footed should flee. The one who's armed should be able to fight against his enemy. The mighty and the courageous one should be able to be victorious. And none of them succeed. None of them succeed. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah on this week's Sedra. The whole Sedra is a story of people whose plans never came to fruition. Everybody in the Sedra plans, and everybody fails. Everybody plans, and in the natural order of things, their plans should succeed. Nobody in the Sedra succeeds. Truth is, at the end of the Sedra, there's only one person who succeeds. The Rabbeinu Shalom succeeds. Nobody else. Take a look. The beginning of the Sedra, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megudei Aviv. Yaakov lives in the land where his fathers live. The famous first Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalvo. Yaakov wanted to live in peace, and he thought, he finally returned home. He's in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to sit down, the twilight of his life. You know, go to a shir in the morning, take it easy in the afternoon. You know, it's about time already, after a life of so much tzaras, that he should be able to sit back. Kofatz olav rugzo shel Yosef, so the terrible tragedy of Yosef befalls him. Yaakov really wants to live. Not only does he want to live b'shalva, he wants to live be'eretz megurei aviv. He wants to live in the land where his fathers live. He wants to live in Eretz Canaan. And do you know what's really beginning in this Sedra? The beginning of Golus Mitzrayim, the exile of Egypt. The brothers want to get rid of Yosef. Did they get rid of Yosef? Absolutely not. They don't succeed. Reuven wanted to bring him back to his father. Reuven doesn't succeed. Yehuda thought that a lovely shidduch for his eldest son, Tamar. What a shidduch. It doesn't work once. It doesn't work twice. He doesn't succeed. He simply doesn't succeed. And if anything, he's the one who becomes the husband to Tamar. Yosef wants the Sar HaMashkim to remember him to Paro. Sar HaMashkim forgets him. The Sar HaMashkim, what's the The last word in the Sedra, Vayishkachehu, he forgot him. The Sar HaMashkim, the butler, is freed, and he forgets Yosef. So we're talking a whole Sedra. So I've taken you one step further. Not only is this an entire Sedra where their action is taking place on two levels. One level is man acting, but the real truth is that God's divine plan is in the process of being played out. And men are, to a certain extent, the bubot, they are the puppets. Told me out. They are the puppets who are doing God's divine they are the actors in God's divine process. But I've taken you one step further now. The step further that I've taken you is all of the things that men want to do in this Sedra, they don't succeed. And the only one who does succeed in the whole Sedra, the Rebbein Shem is the only one who succeeds at the end of the Sedra. That's really what the whole story of the Haftorah is. The Haftorah is telling them, first of all, you should know all of those people who in the normal order of things should succeed, don't succeed. The light-footed, the mighty, the strong, don't succeed. And then you have to know something else. Then comes the other list of seven. By the way, I believe they are both lists of seven. The seven who should succeed and don't succeed. And then there are the seven different things that are never coincidental. There's not, the lion is not going to roar unless it has prey. The shofar will be blown in the city and people are going to be frightened. God has a plan and he reveals his plan. You have to be there ready to listen. You have to be able to listen. The only one in the Sedra whom it seems knows, the only one who really knows in the whole Sedra the divine plan, is the one who's trampled underfoot, Yosef. Yosef, where every step of the way, the only thing you hear from him is, such is the will of God. He knows that every step is Ritzon Hashem, and that he's an actor in some kind of a grand plan, and everything is set out before him. The Haftorah is an absolutely magnificent commentary on the Sedra. One can only begin to, I believe, to understand the Sedra after having studied the Haftorah. Okay. Toda rabah. Gamze yavor.